Welcome to Mind Space Minimal,
a podcast exploring the connections between consciousness, lifestyle, wellness, and aesthetics. We're your hosts. I'm Jessica Yatrovsky.
And I'm Daniel Ryan. We hope you enjoy this episode.
And today we're talking about soulmates, but are we also talking about soulmates past life as soulmates as past life? What are we talking about?
We're talking especially about past life regression and soulmates in my regard, because that's kind of the only kind I know how to talk about. I mean, other than like the sentimental idea we have about soulmates and one person being our soulmate or maybe more than one. But yeah, I certainly know about the idea from the point of view of past life regression. But I still think that there will be some honest and maybe tough critique of the idea at some points throughout our conversation today, too.
May I start with just the basic bitch definition of what a soulmate is, just so we're on the same?
I didn't know there was a definition or a basic bitch definition for that matter.
I think you know me by now what I would say about soulmates, you know.
Yeah, I could guess.
In IRL, you know, like what I would say about soulmates in this life. But so this is on Wikipedia even. So soulmate. A soulmate is a person with whom one has a feeling of deep or natural affinity. This may involve similarity, love, romance, platonic relationships, comfort, intimacy, sexuality, sexual activity, spirituality, and compatibility, and trust. Compatibility and trust. So, okay. And then the other thing I wanted to read you, which I think as we get into the conversation about past life soulmates and just past life in general, theosophy, because I was trying to look up the etymology of soulmate to see like where that came from. Like, is this a Greek thing? Is this a Roman thing? Like, what's up?
Is it a Hallmark
thing? Yeah, what's up? Did they do this for Valentine's Day? So theosophy, according to the esoteric religious movement, theosophy, who claims were modified by Edgar Cayce, God created androgynous souls, equal male and female. Later theories postulate that the souls split into two separate genders, perhaps because they incurred karma while playing around on the earth or separation from God. Over a number of reincarnations, each half seeks the other. When all karmic debt is purged, the two will fuse back together and return to the ultimate. And there's lots of sites next to the ultimate. And I'm like, well, yeah. What's up, Dan?
I mean, it's cool that they
trace
the history. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the research and the kind of looking into where does this term come from? That's a really good question, actually. If I have asked the question, I never found the answer. Before I start talking about my somewhat professionally informed ideas about soulmates, let's talk about the most childlike to begin with. Like, if you were going to review or critique the impact and usefulness of the idea of soulmates to a young man or woman trying to figure out what they like in relationships and partnerships. Is soulmates a useful idea, or could it possibly be confusing or damaging?
Damaging. And the reason why I say this is because when I went to do my research for this episode, I just found how to find your soulmate, 12 ways to identify your soulmate, the best ways, you know, to find a soulmate. It was like all like how-tos. And I just think that damaging.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I also think it's confusing and damaging in that it creates some expectation, or even it puts the question in one's mind of, is there supposed to be one person perfect person out there for me? I think it also creates more unhelpful, superstitious questions about spirituality and relationships that really don't apply when it comes to the nuts and bolts of dating and meeting people in real time and like how to deal with texting with somebody when you barely know them.
Also perfection within relationships. Like, oh, is this person isn't acting perfect. They're not my soulmate, and my soulmate would be the perfect match and they would do everything perfectly.
We said this on a Clubhouse recently during a conversation, but one thing I noticed that I think is really interesting about soulmates and relationships and couples that come to me with questions about this stuff regarding past life regression. I would say 4 out of 5 times the relationship doesn't seem to work and doesn't seem to want to work unconsciously as a romantic partnership.
Can you say that again?
Yeah, just that whatever the quote unquote soulmate relationship or karmic bond or twin flame is, whatever it is, it's not supposed to be a romantic partnership. There's some other lesson. In fact, the lesson usually comes from frustration, disappointment, and something not working out, actually. I've had this experience too, to an extent in my own relationships, and I empathize totally. I get it. I know how superstitious thinking can really impede on decision making when we're trying to figure out what we like and who we're supposed to be
with.
It was
very superstitious, right? Like, now that you mentioned it, because I wasn't thinking about that consciously, but superstition plays such a big role in the soulmate, you know, craziness. And we're willing to not be superstitious about other things, but then we're like, oh, soulmate. It doesn't really track, I think. For me, it definitely doesn't. Like, when I think about soulmates, I do believe that reincarnation is possible, because I'm not going to come on here and be like, reincarnation is real. I don't study those religions. I don't know. But I love the way that you talk about reincarnation, too, as a possible thing, and seeing evidence of it is pretty cool. Like, that it is possible that reincarnation exists. What I was going to say to that is, so I don't really feel like the soulmate thing drives any decisions that I make with relationships, friendships, or otherwise. I actually, if I'm going to go any direction towards woo-woo, it would be that I do have a sense, and I think could be true if reincarnation is real and true, that energies travel together and could potentially find each other again, because like attracts like, and I do believe in that. So if reincarnation is real, maybe Dan, you and I linked up again in this life because our energies were linked in another life and energies travel together. So from that stance, and that could sound weird or superstitious or woo-woo, but if there's anything that I feel...
I'm pretty sure it does. I'm pretty sure.
You think so?
I'm behind it. I'm totally for it. But,
it just seems... It feels like it's true. Like, it feels right.
Yeah.
Because there's this sense of when you look at somebody or you sit down with someone or you have a connection, it's just an unexplainable vibe you get from a person. And
so,
yeah,
coming back to the messiness of it to begin with, that's all the data there is in these stories. It's just like, I have this very, very strong feeling. That's the only data we have.
Soulmate's a vibe.
Yeah, soulmates are a vibe. I mean, they're nothing, they really, yeah, I mean, that's all the information we have to work on is this intuitive, emotional kind of info that emerges and that we're making the decisions based on. So can I share with you what my dad told me soulmates were when I was a kid?
Oh, yes, please.
Yeah. I still love this story and this way of explaining it. And just for the record, too, this works beautifully. In fact, this is the environment I was first, quote unquote, taught this, if we want to call it teaching. But this is perfect for communication in a diner, maybe in New Jersey. using sweet and low and equal packets as as props that you can kind of tear up and write on. First off, and I think we mentioned this before, and I don't remember exactly where my dad would have gotten this from, but he used to teach this thing called the levels of consciousness, and that there are four levels of consciousness. And we actually usually meet each other this way, at least we did pre-COVID. That first there's the physical, where we share space, we touch, we shake hands perhaps, say hello, we, you know, just see each other and share space. And you know, that's the physical level of consciousness, our bodies. The second is the mental or the intellectual. We think, obviously, and are thinking beings, and we meet each other intellectually. We talk about ideas and what's important to us, what we might believe in, stuff like that. Fourth, emotionally, we generate feelings and begin relationships and form bonds or attachments or repulsions, for that matter. We figure out what we like and don't like. You know, so we have our I am pulled towards this charges and I am repelled by that charges. And then the fourth level is spiritually. However we may define that, those deeper subconscious, unconscious levels of our being that transcend space and time. So these four levels of consciousness, when we are essentially in the interlife, a space that this guy Edgar Cayce wrote a lot about, who came up before. Edgar Cayce, fascinating figure. I wouldn't even know how to put his biography into a little short sentence or something like that. But he wrote a hell of a lot about the space between lives and regression therapy and past life regression and reincarnation and stuff like that. So he would talk about the space between lives and the interlife. And in this space, our soul is separated basically into, let's say, four quadrants, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. And at the end of a life, all, you know, for tens of thousands, maybe tens of millions, I don't even know, however many bajillions of entities are in this kind of collective unconscious marketplace of life and souls, are separated into these corners and break apart and shatter all at the same time. So in a past lifetime, my spiritual parts could have met up with my physical parts and somebody else's emotional and somebody else's mental. And then over here, other parts of me connected with other parts of that person. And then they come back down to Earth as completely new people. And those new people meet each other on Earth and have parts of each other inside of them from previous incarnations and past lifetimes. And it creates this basis for relation that is, you know, that feeling, that data we're working with that feels like, oh, fuck, I know this person. What the fuck? I think I'm supposed to, like, marry them or some shit, but they piss me off so much. You know, whatever that charge is that's so strong and intense that we cannot deny, yet cannot make sense of. He told me this as a teenager, and I ate it up. I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. I love it. That works. It's a beautiful story.
That's such a great story, Dan. Thank you for sharing that. And I just can't help but feel like, oh, yeah, narcissism. We're just attracted to ourselves or characteristics that we have in other people.
There's a case for that.
I mean, I always love that turn of phrase, you know, if you spot it, you got it, you spot it.
Sure.
And I do believe that. Yeah. But, you know, I don't want to think that somebody that I despise, like, that there's a piece of me in there. But that actually makes a lot of sense, you know, because if we are going with reincarnation and we're reincarnating, we're here right now because we're learning something, or we're supposed to be learning. What, I don't know what we're supposed to be learning, but we're learning. And maybe we'll be back here like 15 more times because I have no clue. But yeah, that's a really, I love that story. And it makes a lot of sense, actually. I was, when you were saying the story, I was like thinking, oh, all the red M&Ms and the blue M&Ms are all going to go back to their section and not be all mixed up. You know, but you said quite the opposite. That they all get scattered again and go into, you know, people and come back onto Earth or other planets. Did your dad believe in extraterrestrial, like there's life on other planets too?
I think so. I don't remember him responding to that directly at any particular time, but knowing his experience, I know he did sessions with people that involved extraterrestrials and stuff like that. I don't know how, you know, intense his belief was, or if he had very specific ideas that he was like, this stuff is legit and this stuff I don't buy.
But I wonder,
I think so, yes.
I wonder, do you reincarnate into a frog? Like, so then you could like look at a frog and be like, I know you.
Well, there's a lot of different ways of, well, there's a lot of different schools of thought in the background actually already. I mean, Buddhist traditions or Hindu traditions or the school of Athens and different ways of looking at this would have kind of just different points of view, but generally, yes, you know, all of the quote unquote, you know, main cultures or schools of thought that embrace and talk about reincarnation that are coming to mind for me that are the most common ones we would name, all include some kind of hierarchy for the animal and non-human world. So, you know, it's not limited to the human experience. And when I say hierarchy too, oftentimes it's a circle. It's not a pyramid or a triangle. But yeah, there is pretty much always, as far as I'm remembering at the moment, inclusion for animal experiences, which I completely aligned with. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
you know, for anybody who's ever loved their pet dearly or had a beloved animal or anything like that, come on. You know,
yeah.
You look into their eyes
and they look human at times.
Yeah.
Or depending on how you feel, they might look human to you all the time. But I've definitely had experiences like that with animals where I'm like, do I know you?
Most recently, I had a beautiful session with a client who was doing a past life regression. A woman who I think she's in her late 30s, early 40s, a mom living in San Francisco. And the session that she wanted to, well, what she wanted to explore with the session was purpose, essentially. And I've got a couple different ways of coming at purpose specifically. First of all, just a blanket suggestion for people curious about purpose. In order to discover purpose, I suggest do not focus on purpose. Focus on service and play. But in order to actually work on purpose as a subject or discover more of it, do not focus on purpose itself. Focus on service and play, mostly because purpose is a fluid process through life. My purpose as a 5-year-old is different than my purpose as a 40-year-old. And, you know, it's actually under a microscope, a pretty subtle and changing subject. So anyway, that aside, during this past life regression that we're doing, she goes into an experience as an eagle. She has a wonderful, wonderful experience flying and soaring through this very mountainous, dramatic, beautiful, natural setting. And you know, the whole thing is like, what's the purpose of an eagle, man? You know, it's like you're flying through the sky, you're soaring, you're in the journey. It's like, what, why would we stop to even worry about purpose? So there were all of these kinds of lessons that were reflective. There was more to the session too, but all this as a way of saying, non-human experiences in past life regression certainly happen all the time. And yeah, the animal kingdom and the non-human extraterrestrial possibilities are a big part of these larger cycles of reincarnation that we hear about, and just entities and experiences that aren't on Earth.
So what are the takeaways here?
Yeah, what are the takeaways here?
There's no such thing as a soulmate.
Well, Here's my feeling as a regression therapist somewhere in midlife at this point. I think that the idea of soul clusters and soul families,
Yes. The
idea of it is pretty sound. I dislike the language. I think a lot of the metaphors around these ideas... I think a lot of the metaphors around these ideas are faulty, yeah, and kind of misleading as to what these relationships can be in our lives. But I do think that there's a lot of validity and coolness to an idea like a soul family or a soul cluster that is, you know, our people that we hold close and dear, you know, for whatever reasons and whatever relationships that we do.
And I'll say that my takeaway is that we break apart and we come together again. I love that. Because we're not coming together again as one. We're coming together again as a collective. So if part of you is in someone else, then you're coming back together with them. And that's beautiful.
It's nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Jessica.
Thanks, Dan.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Mind Space Minimal.
Go out and find your soul family, guys. Visit us at mindspaceminimal.com and email us at mindspaceminimal@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening.